All right, here we go. It's going to be a beautiful afternoon here on the show. Lots to get into. I think that's probably an understatement. This is Overdrive up on TSN 1050, TSN 4. Brian Haziel, Doug Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. We got Jeff Saturday later in the hour. Marcellus Wiley later in the hour. Carlo Koliakova will join us. Al's brother will make an appearance or two on the show.
This guy too, man.
That's not good.
Wow. Where, who are you more concerned about, Carlo or Al's brother?
Well, I would say probably Carlo because he's a fan of the Buffalo Bills and a genuine fan, and that was a heartbreaking loss
yesterday.
That's
gutting. Like, that's thinking you've won it two different times.
Right.
In a five-minute span of football where you're like, I don't know, the whole weekend was so bizarre. I'm starting to forget what I thought was craziest because it's just – it's melting into another. All the football games were amazing. I literally had to plan a schedule of rotating things on my TVs, like the golf on and the football games and the hockey games. It was an incredible weekend. I mean, you don't get any better if it's as football games. Might put you and Al's brother to a test later this week. That game yesterday is one of the best sporting events I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, what's better than that football game?
All I could think of in Hayes, you say this all the time. This is why the NFL is the top dog in sports. Like, they own the weekend as far as storylines and that. There's obviously hockey and all the other sports that came to the forefront. The NFL, everything that happened, the drama, the lead changes. I mean, even if you're a casual fan, you were like out
of
your mind yesterday.
Yeah, it's Hollywood drama.
Right.
All the time. I mean, you got to consider even the way that they approach it with scheduling. There's no overlapping of the game,
right?
So you're 100% focused on every game. The nature of football is every playoff game is a game seven. You know, every game is a win and you go on, lose and you go home. So you can't bottle that with other sports. You can't compare the games over the weekend to game two, three, four, five of a, you know, whatever round it is in the NHL playoffs or the NBA playoffs or baseball playoffs. So it's a very unique experience. Also, like the way that these broadcasting companies approach it, like you got 6-hour pregame, 6-hour postgames, a million different analysts. It's a show. It's a show unlike anything else on American TV. We obviously get to benefit from it greatly up here. And it is a once in a lifetime type of weekend. Now, recency bias is a thing. We live in an era right now where everything is the greatest of all time or the worst of all time, right? Like that's immediately the reaction. But I will say, going through that game, witnessing that game last night, the nightcap, which is amazing that it played out the way that it did, considering the previous three games were all epic, and yet the best was, in fact, safe for last. Like, that's what we anticipated going into the weekend. But if I had have told you Packers and Titans will lose on a last-second field goal, Brady will almost storm back from 27-3 and lose on a last-second field goal, you'd say there's no way Bills and Chiefs can keep up. But they did. Not only did they keep up, they surpassed in terms of pure entertainment. But it never stops. Like, it just never stops. Well, and recency bias, again, would suggest it's the greatest thing ever. But I can't recall watching a game like the one I saw last night and remembering, you know, anything nearly as crazy from start to finish, and the primary characters being the ones that they were, and how awesome
it was.
It
was just amazing. Yeah. I mean, the quarterbacking, I think Romo said it best. He said, these guys are so amazing. It's like the same guys playing for both sides.
Unbelievable.
Like the unthinkable. It was such a great line by Romo where it was like the unthinkable was happening on both sides for both teams, and it was like the same guy. Unbelievable throws, escaping trouble, just first downs, touchdowns. That's just as good a quarterbacking as you're going to find. And for him to say same, it's basically the same person on both sides, I thought that line really kind of captured the spirit of the thing, if you know what I mean.
Dickie Dunn, I agree. But, I mean, is it the elephant in the room? Like, do you like the playoff format? The overtime format? Do we have to get to that? Is it, I saw a lot of, obviously, Bills fans complaining about the coin toss. Then, you know, people talking about, you know, the format, maybe the college format would be a little bit better. Then other people saying, well, you had an opportunity to shut Kansas City down for 13 seconds. So, you know, where does everyone stand in this? Because I would have liked to seen Buffalo have at least one possession in overtime personally. But then, you know, again, I don't have an allegiance to either team. I just thought, I've said this all the time. I always thought that playoff format was the overtime format was a bit weird. And, you know, last night that was kind of on display.
Right. And there's a lot to unpack when it comes to what happened with the overtime and what preceded the overtime as well. Because I am curious how people in Buffalo are going to remember this. Will it be the coin flip you remember, or will it be 13 seconds? It's one of those two. Right. Which is amazing considering Josh Allen had one of the greatest games we've ever seen. Gabriel Davis had two touchdowns in the last 2 minutes. Two in the last 2 minutes, and no one's going to remember it. He had 200 yards receiving and four touchdowns. It's like, move aside, no one cares about that.
Right.
It's just insane that the Bills put themselves in that position considering there were 13 seconds left on the clock. But I do think there's some conflation happening here in terms of the approach to the overtime rules, where personally I would like to see it changed, where I would like to see, especially in the playoffs, I don't need it necessarily in the regular season. They take a page out of the book of the NHL. In the NHL, during the regular season, you got a shootout. In the playoffs, you don't, right? You can have separate rules in terms of overtime in the regular season and in playoffs. So I would like to see a scenario where both teams get a crack at it, regardless if you don't score, field goal, or touchdown. But that doesn't mean that the Chiefs simply won because they won a coin toss last night. I think that is underselling the greatness of Mahomes and the Chiefs, who took it from their 25-yard line and stormed down the field and scored a touchdown, including the game winner, which was a remarkable threading the needle.
But, Hayes, you know how it goes. Any other sports fan that's not a fan of Kansas City saying, it's kind of weird. Not like I got screwed. I didn't get screwed here, but it's kind of weird where it's like the game's over and you had really nothing to say about it. Defensively, you did.
They did have something to say about it. That's the point.
Like, defensively, they had something to say about it, but it's like, okay, we don't get to touch the football, and then it's over.
But
that's kind of the way people look at it.
And that's I look at it the same way, but what I'm saying is you got to play by the rules based on the way they are today. You know, in 5 years, if they change the rules, you can't look back and say, well, the Bills got screwed. You know who got screwed by the exact same rule 3 years ago? The Chiefs. Brady and the Pats stormed back, tied the game late. They won the coin toss. They went down and scored. Mahomes never touched the ball. So what goes around generally does come around. But what I'm saying is I would like to see the rule changed. I felt shortchanged. But these are the rules, and both teams signed up and agreed to them. And because you lost the coin toss doesn't mean you need to allow them to storm down the field. That's the number one defense in football, and the Buffalo Bills just got shredded.
You mentioned Brady marching down the field. Remember his first Super Bowl he won? I think he had like a minute left to march down the field and kick the field goal against St. Louis they played?
St. Louis, yep.
I was thinking that yesterday, and it happened in that Kansas City-Buffalo game like five different times in the last 2 minutes. I'm like, here's a chance to kind of have a heroic march down the field. And then boom, 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 boom. I'm like, that just happened four times.
Well, that's the thing. Right. When the Bills scored their first go-ahead touchdown with a minute 54 or whatever, I did not believe for a second the game was over. You can't leave Patrick Mahomes in that offense a minute 54 with timeouts. There was no way they weren't marching back down the field and at least putting themselves in a position to possibly score.
I agree.
But I will say, with 13 seconds left, you know, I allowed myself to say the Bills are marching to an AFC championship game. Who didn't? Like, who didn't see the Bills finding a way to stop them from the end zone or at least setting up a game-tying field goal?
Yeah, and I don't have strategic, like, game plan type stuff for NFL. That's not my bag, but the kick seemed a little bit weird, how you're just kicking it through the end zone and it's automatically giving them the – couldn't they have, like
– squib.
You know those kicks that just bounce off the ground to go – yeah, squib it up in the air and let it bounce around and
– that's what McDermott's going to have to chew on, man. McDermott's going to have to chew on, what did I do wrong? Because you know what he did? He trusted his number one rated defense to stop Mahomes and company from marching down the field and getting into field goal territory.
Which number one defense was 13 seconds left? You would have to do that.
It seems normal. You know who? There's one person on earth you can't do it against.
Mahomes.
It's Mahomes and the Chiefs. And you know who also gets, I don't know if they get enough attention or do, is Tyreek Hill is a world-class Hall of Fame talent. And Travis Kelce is too.
I was just going to say that. Kelce's a rock star, man. Just
you need both of them. Like, as great as Mahomes is, how many catches did we see missed by other guys in other games? Like, if he's not throwing it to Hill and then the yards after the catch and just the unbelievable pursuit of the end zone like he had earlier in that game, and Kelce finding an open field, then of course he makes the catch. Like, of course Kelce makes the catch. And of course, right. Like, it's just those two guys are – it's an absurd setup that they have in Kansas City where they got Mahomes, who's not normal, and you've got Kelce and Hill, who are off the charts talented and ready to make big plays in big moments. It's
just
a perfect
potion
that they have in Kansas City.
I agree. I just felt for, you know, seeing Allen on the sidelines and how great of a battle, seesaw battle that was back and forth. I just felt for him where, and of course, you know, in the end, it almost rattled your cage. I don't know, Hayes. Like, they're checking to see if his feet, like, it's almost instant replay. It's Andy Reid standing there with the refs, right? Like, going, are we good? Are we not good? Like it was a delayed reaction, too, because
look
did he get both
pass,
feet
look
in?
At that catch. You know what I mean?
That's
the 10th best play of the game.
Yeah.
You know, is like that, you put that game, you put that throw and catch into any other team in the league, basically, that's the play of the year for them. Or the offensive coordinator doesn't draw it up because they don't believe the quarterback can make the pass.
They're kind of like the Tampa Bay Lightning a little bit. There's some comparables there where it's like they have the special players, the three or four special players that always kind of make things happen. And they've got that clutch factor, that it thing where it's like coming down the stretch, they'll get it done and they'll always come out on top. It's real tough to beat, man.
Right.
Ask Josh Allen. He's probably saying, how the hell do I beat that guy?
Well, he did everything he could. Like, all he can wake up today knowing that Josh Allen did everything he could, because I believed at 13 seconds, I'm like, this is over. Like, I kept thinking, like, how are they going to get it down? Maybe it's two long bombs or I mean, you just got to get it
into. I was thinking Hail Mary miracle at best.
Right.
You
that's
know.
I kept thinking something, but I mean, Allen delivered, and it's unfortunate. What I've liked to see him get another opportunity. I could watch those guys throw the ball all day long, and it's true. Like
the stats that the two of them put forth. This was Stats by Stats tweeted this out last night. Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, they both passed for 300 plus yards, both passed for 3 plus touchdowns, both completed 70% or better of their passes, had 0 interceptions, rushed for 65-plus yards, and led their teams in rushing. No other quarterback in NFL history has accomplished all of those feats in a game, regular season or postseason. They both did it last night. They both did it. Now, I think what makes that unique is that they led their teams in rushing. That's probably the one outlier of those stats. Other guys have had great, you know, games in their career, quarterbacks, but
right.
The fact that it was really about those two just putting on a performance, and I can't say Mahomes played better than Allen or Allen played better than Mahomes. That's where the coin toss comes into play. Allen didn't get a chance to counter because I believe he would have. I think if the Bills win the toss, we're talking about Buffalo winning by 6. I think they march down the field and score. I think if the rules are different, the Bills would get the ball back, and I think Allen would march down and score.
Right.
Those two were just in a zone last night that you never see two guys in the same spot like that.
Right.
And the fear is if you're in Buffalo is you got to get through Mahomes at some point. Like, you got to beat the Chiefs.
That is the King Daddy topper right there.
You got to beat them.
How do you navigate the future as far as your personnel, knowing that you have the guy and also understanding you can't get by the guy?
Well,
that is very interesting to watch in the future. It's like it could be us, but it isn't us. We can't kind of derail and go off the beaten path here and do something completely stupid to try to put us over the top. And that's frustrating, man. Look at the Buffalo Bills teams in the past. They went to 4 Super Bowls. They didn't win one.
Right.
Well, it was great. I mean, there was such a great storyline.
Crazy.
I mean, did we think today we were going to be in here and Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers was not going to be involved moving forward either?
Well, we haven't talked about that choke job by Green Bay, have we?
That's
you
a joke.
And your boy Joe Bowen and his goon squad. What do you got to say today? What do you got to say?
I honestly see it the same way, because everything we just said, drooling over Mahomes and Allen, I can't do that for Aaron Rodgers. And I'm sick and tired of the excuse making for Aaron Rodgers. I am. I'm sick and tired of it.
I love it. So you're done with him.
No, this is why sports is so cruel and why at times you need to breathe and take a step back. And I know that sounds rich coming from someone like me who bloviates for a living and yells and screams. But on one front, I look at him and say his playoff legacy is nothing to write home about. He has choked out the playoffs in recent years. The last three in particular. I was at the game 2 years ago in San Francisco. Remember, Noodles, you referenced immediately. You said seeing him walk out onto the field.
Yeah.
It's like he's too cool. It's nonchalant. He's not capable of meeting the moment. All right, ran into the Niners. You got smoked. But Rodgers was not very good that night. In fact, he was awful at times. Last year against Tampa in the title game, remember that awful pick he threw at the end of the first half? And then Brady scores, throws a basically Hail Mary to Evans for a touchdown. That changed everything. And that was Aaron Rodgers that threw it. And then he never got going in the second half. And on Saturday, I thought Rodgers was awful. I thought he was horrendous. And all he did was look for his boy, Devontae Adams. And when he couldn't find him, he still forced it in there. And you're up 10-3, ball in your hand, three and out, punt, touchdown. Okay, 10-10, ball in your hand, three and out, punt, field goal, see you later. That's on Rodgers. You can blame special teams all you want. You can blame Matt LaFleur. He can blame being immunized and not, you know, vaccinated. He can blame the front office for not listening to him. The fact is, he choked. He choked, and he wasn't good enough on Saturday night, and he needs to own that. He needs to own it. So that's all I can say as a Packer fan. Wasn't good enough, period.
So is this, if you're a fan there, are you expecting that that was the last game you saw of him in a Packer uniform? Do they apply pressure? Like, you know how the fan base sometimes gets disappointed and it's noisy? You know what I mean?
You can do it. You can say, oh, I've had enough of this guy. He choked. But if you were going to take that approach and say, I'm ready to move on from this guy, I'm tired of that choke job. He did it last year against Tampa. All you need to do is go and get the tape of the game in Kansas City this year where Jordan Love played quarterback.
Yeah,
and that is all you need as some kind of wake-up call if you want Aaron Rodgers out of the scene. Unless they're going to make a play for a different quarterback, that's all you need to do.
And that is why I say sports is cruel, because everything I just said, which is a fact, if you've been watching the games, you look at the way he's performed in the playoffs, they haven't been good enough. He hasn't done what Mahomes did. He hasn't done what Brady's done multiple times throughout his career. He hasn't done what Matt Stafford did. Matt Stafford has better playoff pedigree recently than Rodgers. But if he leaves, what if you're Cleveland for the next 20 years with 15 different quarterbacks in 20 years? What if you allow the ineptitude of the NFC North to catch up to you just naturally because you've taken such a downfall at the quarterback position? That's what's scary, is that Rodgers, you say what you want about the playoffs, he's one of the two or three greatest regular season quarterbacks of all time. You know, the guy's going to win another MVP.
Yeah, that's the scary part.
That's what's scary.
MVP back-to-back. Like, the guy's a rock star. It's
right.
Just he hasn't had the playoff success. And you're right. Like, it's Al's brother at quarterback next year if he leaves.
It could be.
Watch what you wish for.
Watch what
Green
you
Bay.
Wish for. There's a Leaf analogy in there. There's a Maple Leaf analogy in there. You know they're going to get to the dance. I can't guarantee it's going to work out for you when you get there. But it's very, very easy to get, sucked in on that. And for that to just be...
Yeah, that's fair.
Really mess with your mind where you're like, I know what I'm getting in the regular season. I know we're going to the playoffs. I know it's going to happen. But can they win the big dance? And what are you in for?
Right.
And that's going to be the question. Now, Green Bay, they're going to try to bring him back. I do wonder if he and Brady, because Brady, you see a lot of smoke out there about retirement and people are trying to read into Giselle's Instagram posts and what this is.
I think that's it, buddy.
You think Tom's done? First and foremost, I thought they were...
he's 45 years old.
I guess since he's going to play until he's 50, though.
Yeah, I thought they were going to win hands down. When they marched back like that, I'm like, this guy's winning. That's just, it's in the cards. Kickers were on display yesterday in a positive way for the most part. You know, they're draining them at the most pressure-filled situations.
They were.
With the games on the line. And I just thought when Brady, tied it up there, I'm like, they're winning, for sure. They're winning.
I thought so, too. But I wonder if Brady and Rodgers, for that matter, are taking a page out of the book of LeBron James, who... The more I think about LeBron and his legacy within the world of athletes and the players,
Yeah.
He is going to be considered a godlike figure for the rest of time because he took the bullets for everyone to say, I'm leaving, to say, I demand this, that, or the other. Like, he left Cleveland, then he left Miami, then he left Cleveland again. He said, I want these guys traded. Like, everything goes through LeBron. Everything. You talk about superstar empowerment. LeBron is at the face of it. And I think Brady realized it last year in Tampa. I wonder if he's realizing it again this year where they're going to have some cap issues. It looks like they're going to have to turn some people over. And I wonder if Brady is holding the owners and the management's feet to the fire. Like, if you don't do this, and if you don't do what I want, I might either retire or leave. And I'm thinking the same thing could be applying with Rodgers. You know, he said it after the game. They have real cap issues in Green Bay. There's going to be turnover there. And when there's big cap issues, that means big names have to go. You got to cut the guys making the money.
Yeah, but Brady had some offensive weapons that were just simply injured. You can't
go to
ownership and say, why were they hurt?
You can if they're all up for contracts. Like, Gronk's up. Are you going to pay Gronk to bring him back or not? You know, Antonio Brown left. How are you going to replace him?
Right.
Right? Like, there are centers up for free agency. Like, you look at the list, both in Tampa and Green Bay, there's a lot of guys who are up and a lot of guys who might go.
Well, Brady might obviously, you could take a step back and say, I'm going to see how this all unfolds. If our team's not as good, maybe I'm not coming back.
Can you see him playing somewhere else? You think it's retirement or Tampa,
could you see Brady going somewhere else?
Somewhere
that was strong, that was going to protect him. He'll go to another strong team.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
I could see it too.
It's game over. I'll bet you both 500 right now it's over.
That he's retiring?
Done. Retiring. I know some people that you guys aren't aware that I know, but I'm saying it's over.
Oh, really? So you're getting some insight from the
the guy who rubs bark on Brady's legs there, that weird voodoo doctor. What's that guy's name?
Yeah, Guerrero.
Yeah, Guerrero.
Is he on your speed dial?
Yeah.
Does it look like I work out with Guerrero?
Ferrero? No.
Ferraro. Yeah, Alex Ferraro. All right, well, we'll see what Jeff Saturday can tell us about that of ESPN and longtime NFLer himself. There's some tons of news in the hockey world. We'll get into it. The Leafs bringing the blender out in terms of their lines and what they might end up doing up front. It sounds like they're committed to it, at least for the start of the next game. We'll tell you about that, and we'll get into it. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. Bad habits
lead to late nights. I gotta tell you, Hazy, what a time to flip the switch and take my airplane to Cincy and jump on the Joey B train. What perfect timing for Joey B mania.
You know what's so gutless about your whole stance and your fair weather fandom is that I'll bet you noodles you're in the same spot. I get roped into it because the Packers lost on Saturday. I had people legitimately asking, so who are you going to jump on with? Just like O does all the time. I'm not doing that. I'm not a child.
It's different. I played professional sports. I'm allowed to screw with people. I could care less who wins and loses.
Joe Burrow's your guy now.
Dude, Joe Burrow is my guy. Right now, he is my guy.
All right, sure.
Until next week. And then it'll be Mahomes or whatever. Yeah,
Kansas City.
Mahomes.
Yeah, jump on that bandwagon. Here's a longtime NFLer, ESPN NFL analyst Jeff Saturday. How you doing, Jeff?
Fantastic. How you guys doing?
Well, we're having the same debates I'm sure everyone else is in the football world. I saw your post game over the weekend on TV today. The overtime rules, you know it's coming. Where do you stand on the current NFL overtime rules, and do you have an appetite for change?
No, I like the rule. I think the rule is fine. I think situational football hurts people's hearts, and when your team doesn't do it right and the other team does, it frustrates you. And you know, everybody wants fair, right? But life ain't fair. Everybody's like, oh, if my team got this or my team got that. And at some point there has to be a conclusion, even if it was as good a game as it was. But in reality, the Bills had plenty of opportunities to close that game out and didn't. The Chiefs executed in the latter part of the game to win. And I got no problem, man. Had the Buffalo Bills won the coin toss, went down and scored, I wouldn't have had a problem with that one either. When I look at it all, I think the way we've done it is good. I think 10 minutes is good, especially for the regular season. I don't want that much more football if I'm playing, just from the physical toll it takes. So I like it. And I think, you know, ultimately you're going to be divided depending on which team you were pulling for. But I am a fan of the rule.
Well, in terms of where the Bills are standing today, and specifically Sean McDermott, their head coach, I would think he's going to replay this game in his mind 50,000 times over the course of the offseason. But the way they defended with 13 seconds on the clock, the decision to kick it through the end zone instead of squib, maybe the way they defended in overtime, is there one moment in particular where you believe he is probably hating on himself the most?
Yeah, the 13 seconds when Mahomes got the ball. I mean, we can all argue about kicking the ball into the end zone or squib kicking. You know, I know a ton of coaches who are scared to death of a squib kick because if the kicker doesn't kick it right and it bounces wrong, they got the ball at the 40. I mean, you know, there's a million different reasons why people do that in a special team. So I can understand, you know, I would have probably pooch kicked it like that as well. They could have called a fair catch, but it probably would have been backed up further, or you lose a few seconds of time. But in reality, let's just be real. 13 seconds, the number one defense in the NFL, you think the odds are in your favor, and they should have been. And the bottom line is you can't allow basically two receptions to go down the field for 50 yards and then set up a fairly easy kick to tie the game. And that's what will haunt him is the first hill. And then the second, you know, Kelce catch when he, you know, reduces his split by himself and he and Patrick Mahomes are talking about it. And he has basically walks off the line of scrimmage and is wide open for dang near 20 yards or maybe more. I mean, it will eat you up, you know, things like that happen. And look, we've all lost games that we felt like we should have won 13 seconds on the clock with the number one defense. I'm not sure anybody in the world would have bet against the Bills at that point.
What advice would you have for Bills management moving forward? We talked about it before you came on, Jeff, where it's like you could be the team, but you're not the team. It's like there's one guy that seems to be standing in your way. You've got the quarterback. You've got all the pieces. You got to stay on the right path. Like, just how difficult and challenging is it for the Bills to just stay on track here and keep going?
No, that's the deal. Stay the course. Listen, this football team, they beat them one time this year, and they lost to them the second time. And unfortunately, you know, they'll have to live with that one because it's one that they gave away. And that's the part that you go back and sell to your locker room. That's what every player in that locker room believes, even the defensive guys that gave the points up late. They had the right call, you know, the two-man coverage where Hill catches it and takes that thing. Like, you can't get beat inside. Like, that's the only, you know, I mean, there are just different moments of the game that are so impactful in that specific moment. When you feel like if you're the coaching staff or the front office that you go, we did it right. They executed better than us. And at some points, you know, teams play better in games and that happened, but that is not, you know, this team has made enormous strides over the last 2 years. Josh Allen's playing performance continues to get better. Their line the past month and a half ish, maybe. Yeah, their offensive line got significantly better. I thought Daboll did a really good job calling it. And you know, man, you got the number one or one of the top defenses in the league. There ain't a whole lot of holes to fill. Just stay the course. I've been on the team that's sitting where the Bills are when we were, you know, battling the Patriots. And for whatever reason, early on, they had our number. And it's one of those things, man, where once you finally start beating them, it all starts to go your way. I think that's the part that you got to sell to your guys because that's the truth of it. They made more plays down the stretch, and that's frustrating, but that's the game.
With Jeff Saturday, ESPN NFL analyst and a former NFLer, continuing with kind of the pessimistic blame game kind of angle here, Saturday night Green Bay ends up losing. Where does Aaron Rodgers and his play rank for you in terms of the primary reasons for that loss in Green Bay?
I mean, obviously he has a role, right? Not enough big plays. I mean, they did a great job of taking Davante Adams and limiting his production. You know, the first drive, obviously, you know, looked like, man, this is going to be, you know, they're going to blow the doors off of them. But man, you know, special teams, you can't give up points. And You can't get blocks. I mean, you, not only do you take points off your own board, you give up. That's a huge swing. And so, I am not one who necessarily ties wins to quarterbacks all the time. I can tell you it frustrates me at times when everybody talks about Peyton and Aaron's record. I'm like, wait a minute. We did some work there too, you know? So as much as I want people to share the credit, I want them to share the blame as well. He obviously did not play his best. They didn't make enough plays, but I would not just lay this at the feet of Aaron Rodgers and say, man, he wants to play better. He didn't play his best game. But when you look at it, what are you going, 20 of 27 or something and 200 and something yards? But just no real explosive, you know, money plays. The Aaron Jones catch down the sideline, I thought, man, if he got to the end zone, it's a different game. And that's just you look back at it. But he's a quarterback that if you have him on your squad, you're a contender. And so whether you love the guy or hate the guy, he makes the Packers one of the best teams in the NFC, and will continue if he sticks there.
Jeff, you think Tom Brady plays football next year?
I do, man. I mean, look, I think this is the seasons are long, and I think fans forget, they're only seeing a microcosm of what it really looks like. You know, it's like, man, you get a snapshot of our season looking, watching one game, every weekend for 17 weeks and then hopefully the playoffs. Man, if you knew how much goes into it, especially for a guy like that and at his age in particular. I think I was 38 when I retired, maybe. Life is so different. I mean, when you're comparing yourself to the 21-year-old, fresh out of college, or 22-year-old, he's fresh out of college, and dude's bouncing off the walls, never tired, and you're like, I got to get in. And I don't think Tom Brady even drinks coffee, but I got to drink my third cup of coffee to want to go to practice. It's just different, man. It's fatiguing, but I think he'll get some rest, and I think he wants to play, through 45, and that would require this season. And obviously, he's fully capable, man. The dude, in my opinion, was the MVP. I know people are talking about Rodgers are going to get it, but you got the most completions, most yards, just keep checking every box. Golly, I mean, it's just he's just been incredible.
With Jeff Saturday, I think, Joe Burrow, everyone's trying to attach one of these older legends to the future of Joe Burrow. Like, is he the next Brady? Is he the next Rodgers? Whoever it is, he's making a name for himself early. Now they roll into Kansas City, a team they beat a few weeks ago, although it was at home. But can you put this into perspective, how quickly he's turned around Cincinnati, what Joe Burrow has managed to do in only a couple of years?
No, I mean, listen, the most amazing part to me is his ability to stand in a pocket where he knows he's going to get murdered. I mean, like that in itself is just, it's mind-boggling. I played with two Hall of Famers, and I can assure you, first of all, we never give 9 sacks, but if a dude's getting touched, he is, there's going to be tablets broken and some choice words are coming your way. It's like Bro doesn't even get rattled, dude. Doesn't say anything to the offense. It just keeps getting up and delivering. That's after an ACL and dang near leg look like it got ripped off, And it,
right.
I have just been amazed, honestly, at his ability to stand in that pocket, man, and continue to deliver for this football team. And hats off to him. And I'm not one who associates with the next. I mean, Joe Burrow's going to be Joe Burrow, and I hope he has an incredible career let's them all stand for what they are, because they're all different. But, man, it's special to watch. There's no doubt.
No, there's no question about that. And we'd be remiss not to ask you about the other two teams that, that won over the weekend. That'd be the Rams, right, and the Niners. And, as a former center yourself, you look at those front four, the front seven, but just the pass rush that we witnessed all night on Saturday and all afternoon with L.A. and San Fran, respectively. How does that make you forecast what we're going to see next weekend?
Oh, man, incredible. Like what a matchup by both. I mean, I think the Rams probably have a little larger margin for error, with Stafford, Kupp, OBJ, from an explosive play kind of capability. And then you go, wait a minute, they were up 17-0. And came back. And so pass rush on both these teams is going to be enormous. The game's going to be won on the line of scrimmage, and that's the Rams not only being able to attack Jimmy G, but stopping Deebo Samuel when they get those matchups. And what does that look like? And vice versa. And then I think when, man, like Jimmy G, and he, for whatever reason, when he plays the Rams, he has these moments where, you know, these, he just has these drives, and he's going to have it again. Like, you just know, you know, when you think about it, and whether it's on San Francisco, whether it's Bosa and these guys getting after it, or you flip it over and you got Donald and Von Miller, who has just closed out, man. I mean, my word, or Floyd, they're stacked on these lines of scrimmage. So offensive linemen, man, you ain't, I can assure you, these weeks keep you up a little bit. You know, you don't want to be posterized. You don't want to see pictures for the next 20 years of, you know, you getting trucked and giving up some major play. So any offensive lineman sleeping well this week in the NFC, I can assure you.
Absolutely. It's going to be an awesome week. We only got a few games left. Enjoy them, Jeff. We always appreciate you doing this. Thank you, buddy.
Heck, you have a great one. Take care.
There's Jeff Saturday of ESPN and longtime NFL offensive lineman. Lots of winners, lots of losers, you know, but a lot of competitors this weekend. You know who's maybe taking the biggest L's, or the biggest L of the weekend is Noodles, your boy Baker Mayfield. I guess Baker has decided to take a reprieve from social media. He's out because everyone's all over him. The fact that Joe Burrow also went first overall is within the state of Ohio and going to an AFC championship game.
By the way, before you get to Baker, wait till you see Joey B with Tom Brady-type protection. Like, for years you've been watching Tom Brady, you're like, the guy never gets touched. Wait till my guy in Cincy gets that type of protection. You talk about wish lists for quarterbacks. When he goes into head office and says, better fix this for next season, fellas, we're on to something.
You're feeling good about that? Yeah. Your boy.
But Baker, what
Baker's is his getting hit because, well, Odell Beckham Jr. is living his best life in L.A., right? Baker couldn't make that work.
Right.
I'm pretty sure we all know the answer as to why Beckham wasn't working. Right, it was Baker and Josh Allen, Mahomes, Burrow.
Yeah, like everyone's doing it around him, but
everyone's doing it around
him. He's the loudest and plays the hero role when you know,
and
when things are going
not
well.
Not much to the table,
and
it's like he needs this attention. Like, it's like, oh, I'm not in the spotlight. Oh, I got to be in the spotlight and announce that I'm going off of social media. It's
exactly,
like, dude, you're not good enough for that type of nonsense. And what I try to explain to young hockey players, it's like I always say. You think Steve Yzerman would act like that? He wouldn't act like that. So why the hell do you act like that? It's just the greats of the great, they don't do that stuff. So why are you?
Right.
Why are you?
Learn
they
from
don't
your
do
elders
that stuff.
Learn from history. Yep, exactly. Yeah. Do yourself the favors. Speaking of learning from your elders and your idols in some ways, I owe one of the two of you an apology. I ran into something. I had something happen to me or something said to me over the weekend that now I know where you're coming from. I'm going to tell you about that. We'll get into it. Carlo Colaiacovo's coming up. Al's brother's coming up as well.
Wow.
Overdrive continues. TSN
I know the 50. Apologies to me.
And on TSN 4. All right, Marcellus Wiley in about an hour. Carlo Colaiacovo will join us in the next hour. We'll get into the line shuffling down at practice today. Sheldon Keefe taking a different look with the top three lines anyway, and sounds like he's committed to that into the next game. So we'll tell you about that. Anaheim will be in town on Wednesday. So I had an experience over the weekend that really put me in a different view and allowed me a different perspective. All right, so was at the grocery store doing my thing, a little bit of a tight alley. You know, there's some people walking through. There's some different things going on. And an employee is trying to push a cart past. And I have my back turned to him. And he doesn't yell out, but he says out loudly enough so I can hear it. Hey, bud.
Coming through,
big guy. Calls me big guy. I don't remember being called big guy. And I'm like, you know what? I know where the old dog's coming from. Immediately, I'm like, big guy? Are you kidding me? You're
calling
me big guy?
Dude, there's something inside. It's such a little comment, but it seeps into your soul, and you want to scratch the guy's eyes out.
It was crazy.
Wow.
I blatantly tell people now, don't ever call me big guy again.
Don't call me big guy.
No,
I turn around, it's
no
a younger
way.
Guy, fit, like in shape, and didn't mean anything by it, but coming through. Big guy. I'm like, are you kidding me? And my, like, everyone's, I just assume the whole place turns and looks at me like, who's this guy? Who's the big guy? I got to place eyes on the
dude,
big.
I immediately say, like, you can say, heads up, pal, heads up, whatever. But when you float out, what's going on, big guy? I'm like, you don't even know me. You're not. You don't but, know me. To
you call can't me call me big,
what
guy.
What do you call me, big guy for?
No, you can't.
So and it's an instant thing calling you a fat ass. It's basically saying you are a
that.
Fat. Yeah.
Okay, that's yeah. where I'm fat going. Ass. So you're interpreting that it's the guy's calling you larger, correct?
Well,
so like
noodles,
like,
you got to admit, no one would say to you, "Excuse me, big guy." Like
it might be one of his. Like he's a. You know, 25-year-old bro that's like everyone's a big guy to him. You know
maybe,
what I mean? Here's
maybe.
The thing. If there's somebody who's shorter in stature and you walk by him and go, come and by, little man, that is, right? Little
exactly,
man,
but I guess
big
what we're
guy.
Saying here, Noodles, I think it's on a similar path, right? Like
right?
if you call a grown adult little man, like, come on. You're asking. If he turns around and starts throwing,
no, but
you got to
dude,
just,
if but, you toss out, watch out, big guy, I can say, come right through, little carny. Go ahead.
You think
go
you
ahead,
can
you carny.
No, but,
go back
but,
to the carnival, you little whatever,
yeah, but,
and then we'll
the guy,
talk
what
after.
If the guy's 6'2"? Like,
that
that's
was
the
a,
thing.
This
my,
guy,
my point
he
is,
was.
It could be interpreted just as a friendly, like, hey, big guy, I'm rolling by. Because, hey, you're 6'3". You're not... You know, 5'6".
Dude, it's just something about big guy. It's not.
That's, okay. That's what I'm saying, Noodles.
And these people know it bugs me now, so they do it on purpose. They're like, hey, big guy, good to see you. I'm like, I'm going to just start saying, hey, cross-eyed freak. Like, hey, how are you? I'm just going to start. Yeah, just, hey.
Well,
hey,
that
carnies,
might be a bridge.
Just carnies
far.
Everywhere.
Yeah, that's a
big
little
guy.
Bit rich. That's tough. I mean, if the guy's a little, if he's staring at a fly on the end of his nose, then maybe you could say that. But at the end of the day, like, I understand where you're coming from, but you are 6'3".
I'm a big dude. Yeah, I'm a tall guy. I had the winter jacket on, so maybe, you know, whatever. I guess if you were to look at me, you might say that's a big guy based on the norms
right.
of society. I am a bigger dude, but I, you know, I have not had that address. I haven't heard that address in a while. You know, I used to hear it sometimes flippantly, and I think I know exactly where you're going with that. As I'm walking in to get, you know, two chicken parms, one for the road.
It's code for you're a tub of garbage.
Well, that was
it is.
My interpretation. And I don't know if that was the meaning, but it was coming through, big guy. And I'm like, big guy? Like
any
and it was
kind of big guy or big fella? Hey, big fella. It's
big
code
fella.
For you're a tub of trash.
But he didn't
and
say,
and you need to get in a gym.
Yeah, that's
and it's
that was,
it's ignorant. It's I tell
radar.
People you can't call me that. Sorry,
he didn't
can't.
Say move it, you moose. Or,
no, I know.
You
that,
know, hey, but... Griff. Like you know, it's just it's like I don't know. You'd have to get to know the context is so important in these situations because he may have been completely innocent, or he might have said, "Geez, that's a moose in front of me." Hey, you know,
I doubt it. I mean, again, I didn't start interrogating. The guy and say, where were you? Maybe it is something that just gets tossed around to anyone you're watching. Listen, he's trying to do a job. Turned around, he was a younger guy, was in shape, you know, and I'm like, okay.
Right.
But it just, it immediately made me think of, oh.
Yeah. Hit a nerve, eh?
Just right off the bat, I'm like, I don't remember the last time someone addressed me as big guy.
And by the way, following up on that, it pisses you off. Like, you inherited my hatred for that. It was like, yeah, I hate it too.
Yeah.
You cannot call me big guy.
I owe
Sorry.
You an apology. I've called you big guy. Now, sometimes I say it as because I know it is going to bother
a nerve.
You. Yeah, which admittedly is immature. But there have been other times where I've said it without any thought that goes into it. Like, there he is, the big guy's back. But then I realized, why
Dude,
would I say that? I wouldn't say that to
right.
Noodles.
Even little things like, ah, oh, there he is, the big guy's back from big. And I'm like, you son of a.
And I wouldn't say it to Noodles. I've never called Noodles the big guy.
No, you wouldn't be like, ah, oh, the big guy back in the middle there, Noodles,
no,
how are you?
You're
so
right.
You're basically subconsciously calling me a tub of garbage.
That's not
true.
Yes, yes.
Not true. I wouldn't
unless
ever
you
do
use
that.
It as a term of endearment.
That's what it is. Term
no,
of
it
endearment.
Isn't, man. No, it isn't.
Anything well, I'm not going to do
big,
it anymore.
Okay.
Big
so what
guy.
Do you,
I'm
okay.
Not doing it.
What do you call Brian McCabe? What's his nickname? Isn't it Ugly Face?
Ugly Face and Ass Face.
Yeah, like there, you know those.
Because
that's
ugly.
A term of endearment, right?
Yeah, he doesn't right. mind it. Like, he doesn't say, hey, don't call me that. It's whatever
I mean,
somebody's comfortable with. I don't like, hey, big guy, or hey, big fella.
I mean, Colleen is tweeting and saying that it's a saying that is used a lot these days. Like, maybe there's a younger generation. This was
I
a young
think there
guy.
Is.
No, it isn't. Young or, people don't say, hey, big guy. They don't even know people's names. They don't even look at people.
Yeah, but who, that's my point. How much interaction do you have with the younger people, you know, teenagers or people in the early to mid-20s?
Dude, that's not who calls me big guy. The guy that calls me big guy is a bigger moose himself with a cigarette-stained mustache. That's who uses the term.
Yeah, that one. There's not a lot of self-awareness when the big guy
It's not
guy
like
gets
some...
Around. Have you ever used it, though? Like, you're not being hypocritical, I hope. You're not tossing around big guys when we're not around. You don't use big guy.
I don't talk. I say hello to people and I talk to strangers, but I don't say, "Hey, big fella," like because you're basically like imagine going up to a guy with a bag of Cheetos and a chicken parm sandy, and you're like, "Big fella, what's up?" You're basically saying you're a moose.
Yeah,
I like the word
that's
chum.
It.
I like the chum. Word chum. Hey, chum. Chum's a.
But I don't know
very...
if chum is endearing. Like, I'm not sure they're, and I'm guilty, but I say, hey, buddy, hey, pal. I say all that stuff. And
that's fine.
Yeah, but you're just not even trying. You know, it's just,
chum?
It's such a, chum, I guess you put a little more thought into it because it's unique.
That's a Grant Fear used to say. He calls everyone chum. Hey, chum. Yeah. Like, I like that.
Pal.
Hey, buddy.
Pal, you know? Seems a little bit sharp. Hey, pal. You know, I don't know. Anyway, Carlo's coming up. Marcellus Wiley's coming up. There's history made out in Vancouver. The new hiring of an assistant GM. We'll tell you about that. Lines being changed up at Leaf practice. We'll get into that, among many other stories in the NHL, NFL, and Raptors with a tough loss last night. And Nick Nurse was not shy about the reality of their situation. The only team in the NBA that's got to deal with it. We'll get into that more coming up later this afternoon. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.